Good afternoon, YouTube. Or good morning, or good night, good evening, whenever it is you're listening to this. You might even be listening to this on a podcast. Keto with Honey Bunny is dropping by to say, what's up, Keto with Honey Bunny? That's such a funny name, Honey Bunny. So cartoonish, right? It's like a cartoonishly sweet, loving expression, Honey Bunny. Says it's 2:08 p.m. at work. Adam Franz, what's up, man? Chris in Stuttgart. How's it going, Chris? Farmer Meemaw. Farmer Meemaw, it has been a while. Cat D. How's it going, Cat D? It's 12:08 Elizabeth's time. 12:08. Okay, so you're probably West Coast time in the U.S. Emolier? Or Emolier. Yeah, Emolier. Is that how you say it? From Philly. What's up? Picking up the kids. But I'll tune back in when I get home, she says. So glad he's been doing lots of live videos. I try to do at least 2 a week. But, you know, it can be hard to actually know what the most efficient use of your time is with all these platforms. It's crazy. You know, I mean, with YouTube, it's like lately, our videos, they get demonetized and kind of thrown in the Google gulag. So I don't really know. I'm pretty sure when a video is demonetized, it's not going to be in the suggested videos and stuff. And I don't think YouTube pushes them because YouTube's all about that ad revenue, right? It's all about getting them Pepsi dollars. The GM, the government motors dollars. All right, Ron in Chicago Burbs. What's up, man? How's it going over there in Chicago? We got Southern Illinois, Cat D. Smoked Dog Smokey, Chemo Sabi. Alicia, what's up, Alicia? Amazing, hermoso. Es un día muy hermoso. Pero hay viento. Yo quiero salir afuera de la casa. Pero hay mucho viento y va a destruir la calidad del audio. Cat D says it's 3:12 in Atlanta. In the ATL. All right, Central Illinois. We got Canada. So many people. Chris, that's just a weird way of saying that. All right, what are you drinking? I'm drinking water. That's pretty much what I drink all the time is water. Groffs, what's up? We got people in Latvia, Philadelphia, Texas, people all over. Alicia says she gained 9 pounds. Why'd you gain 9 pounds, Alicia? What are you saying there? You gained 9 pounds. Give me some context, Alicia. Alicia Jimenez. Millie in India. Wow, what's up? Ty Jacobs, ¿qué pasó? ¿Cómo estás, amigo? Perth, Australia. We got people all over. All over, all over, all over. All right, we got a question here from Ruben Parades Elizondo. Ruben dice, hello. What do you think of zero carb, all meat diet? All right, so if you go to Instagram right now, if you jump on the gram, go check out Instagram. You'll see what my lunch was. My lunch was zero carbs. Actually, you know what? Well, I had my breakfast and my lunch were zero carb today. How's that? Two meals so far, zero carb. It might even be like kind of a zero carb day. I don't know. I just had a huge second meal. And I don't know if I'm gonna eat any more food today. But essentially, my breakfast this morning was 3 duck eggs with some of Mama's Best meatballs from the Ketogenic Edge cookbook. 3 duck eggs, Mama's Best meatballs, and I had it cooked in butter. And then I ate chlorella with it. Now that's a weird ingredient. So I made the eggs, I cooked them in butter. And then I heated up the meatballs, which were like pre-made. Man, we got so many people. What's up, Chris? Chris is joking about the scorpions. Oh! Alright. You weren't just being creepy, Chris. Chris put a message, he's like, is Jessica alive? Yeah, Jessica's alive. She's alive and well. She survived a savage scorpion attack last night. No, 2 nights ago. We put up a video with all of the horrific details from this story. You know what's crazy? Whoa, Apple. Who's Apple? Apple says message retracted. Steve Jobs popping in. So yeah, Jessica's okay. She survived a scorpion attack in the middle of the night. She was stung by a scorpion twice. one on each of her hands. How crazy is that? Both hands. One, the first one got her when she was asleep, and then she woke up. She was like, "What the F is going on?" She's like, "What's going on? What's going on?" And I thought everything was okay because I turned on my light. I looked at her, and she was kind of like confusedly reaching around the bed. So I thought she was kind of sleepwalking, sleep talking. No, she wasn't. She got stung. She got stung by a freaking scorpion. But you know, all right. So we live in Ecuador. We live in the mountains of Ecuador, in the Andes of Ecuador. We moved out here in 2010. Ashley Jimenez, I'm going to get to you in a minute. Stay on, sweetie. You're going to be all right. So we came here in 2010. Neither one of us has been tagged by a scorpion until now. We've had a few close calls. They tend to come towards our bed at night. They tend to walk up the stairs towards warmth. I don't know where their little nests are or what, but scorpions, everybody gets freaked out about like animals, scorpions and snakes and stuff, right? Scorpions in Ecuador are not deadly. They're not like the Mexican scorpions that will kill you, or that may kill you. The scorpions here, it's like a intense wasp sting or something like that. Yeah. So, all right, speaking of bug bites and insect bites in Ecuador, it's not as fun to tell this story all alone. I have been stung on my junk 2 times by yellow jackets. I'll tell this story another time, maybe. Maybe I'll make a video one time. About the time I got stung on the tip of my dick by a wasp or a little yellow jacket thing. Vicious little battle animals. I had to take my penis, put it into a jar. I ended up taking my wiener, putting it into a jar full of what's it called? Of vinegar. To neutralize the situation. And I had to walk around with my weenie in a little glass thing full of vinegar. I remember my daughter was like 2 or 3 at the time. She thought it was hilarious. But that wasn't the only time that I got stung on my junk here. So we live in a relatively rural area, right? So we can have time outside. We can spend time in the sun. I can lay naked in the sun in various parts around my house and nobody can see me. And if somebody can see me, it means they're peeping through a telescope and they're pathetic anyway, so they can have at it. So, you know, I like to sunbathe, lay down in the sun, generate vitamin D, generate release nitric oxide from the blood. And yeah, the little wasps and yellow jackets, every once in a while, I like to come around and take and give a bite. Ken, Keto with Honey Buddy says, whole new meaning to Red Rocket. Yeah, no, it was itchy and swollen. I will say that it was painful. I thought it was because I had to put it in like a spice jar thing, so it wasn't that much space. It was like tight squeeze. I was just worrying that it was gonna get all inflamed and get stuck in the spice jar. Then it would have been a whole other level of comic relief, and absolute terror on my part. So, anyways, yeah, there's the story. I live in Ecuador. My wife got attacked by a scorpion. Got both of her hands stung, and I have had the tip of my penis stung by a wasp. It wasn't fun. One time my hand got stung by one of these wasps and it swelled up so big I couldn't make a fist. It was all itchy. I couldn't sleep for a few days. It was crazy. So anyway, all right, so the all meat diet. Let's go back. What do I think about it? Not for everybody, but also not dangerous, nothing to be worried about. And for many people, it seems like it could have greatly beneficial effects. The decrease in compounds such as lectins, which can bother a lot of people. I don't talk about lectins that often because this is one theoretical framework with which we can use to describe inflammation in the body, negative reactions to food in the body, and the presence of lectins seems to be a major sensitivity issue for a lot of people. You pull out the plant foods, most of the lectins are gone. Also, you know, fiber for most people think fiber is great, right? Oh, you need so much fiber. Fiber is so crucial for gut health. You know, I mean, talk to people like Andrew Scarborough, who had a traumatic brain injury due to surgery after he had a tumor removed. He had astrocytoma. He was very sensitive to all types of foods, and he found that a zero-carb diet was pretty much all he could go for. Like, he was even super sensitive to things in supplements. You know, a lot of supplements have additives and fillers, like magnesium stearate. So if you look at like most supplements on the shelves, they're gonna have magnesium stearate in them. This stuff can be a major trigger for some people, and could even be like a seizure trigger for people like Andrew. So yeah, removing lectins, removing plant foods for a lot of people can be a path to reducing inflammation, for healing the gut,
and for just reducing toxic load in the body. Now this goes completely against another dogma that's out there, right? You have the raw vegan type stuff, right? You got these extremes in diet all over the place, and people do tend to gravitate towards the extremes, especially people who are just beginning on their journey to health and stuff. We get voracious, we're hungry for change sometime, and these extreme diets can have a lot of attraction for certain people. Unfortunately, a lot of people with disordered eating habits, with fear around food and a lot of emotional problems with food, can be attracted to these and use them as an excuse to kind of justify an eating disorder. So there's the two sides of the coin right there, right? All meat diet, a zero carb diet. There are a lot of people who thrive on it. I end up eating zero carb kind of often. Like today, I didn't have any carbs. I might have some plant foods later on. I'm trying to think. I mean, there's carbs in the eggs. Minuscule carbs in like the liver that I ate, but yeah, there you go. There's the thoughts on that, guys. Now let's go back. Let's talk to Alicia. Alicia, what's going on here? You gained 9 pounds because you were depressed, you said, and that's a huge. I mean, that's so common, right? Like, how many people out there who are watching right now or listening right now, I mean, if you can comment, you can comment and answer the question. I might see it. If not, just ask yourself this. But when you started getting certain problems and issues in your health, including fat gain, right? So you started getting overweight. If you look back, it almost always occurs after some sort of a traumatic event, whether that traumatic event be a relationship falling apart, strife with a spouse, stress at your job. Toxic relationships around us can create situations that will lead to fat gain like really quickly. There's an intimate link between depression and inflammation. Every single thought we have informs our immune system. Yeah, they recently discovered, right? There's all these little scientists recently discovered. but you know, one of these recent discoveries floating around lately was that parts of the brain that are involved in social interaction are intimately connected with, and Alicia is agreeing. Alicia, I'm talking to you in specific. You know, there's all these other people watching, but I'm talking just to you. Like, don't worry about what other people are thinking, what other situations are people have going on. This is for you. But of course, it applies to a lot of other people. But anyways, inflammation in the brain, inflammation in the gut are intimately connected. Parts of the brain that are associated with social cognition and social maneuvering are also responsible for our immune system, right? So when you really consider that, when you take that in, when you digest that information, we're basically looking at scientific science has said. The word of science has told us that our immune system is linked up with our emotional psychological state. So, knowing that, right? So, Alicia, you were going through a major depression. Me just telling you that depression and inflammation are intimately linked, what does that help you, right? Well, it helps you because of this. If you actually decide that you don't want that, right? If we're in a depression, if we're in a funk, if something happens to us, something traumatic happens to us, and we start a cascade of poor decision-making because our energy faculties are drained and we're not able to make the right decisions, and we just intuitively make self-destructive decisions because we're used to it, when we find ourselves in those situations, there's two paths we can take. We can continue unconsciously or consciously down the same destructive path where the light at the end of the tunnel is a freight train coming your way, or we can assess the situation, take stock of what we've still got control of in our hearts, in our mind, in our body, and we can make the right decision to move forward, not towards, you know, the fake light at the end of the tunnel, and you know, the chasing the dopamine rush from sugar, chasing the numbing out feeling from food. Rather than doing that, we've got to flip the script. We actually have to completely flip it on its head and rearrange what we're actually doing with the diet and with the food. So rather than using diet unconsciously in this negative feedback loop, which was just made conscious to you, Alicia, you understand that depression and the diet, the way you treat yourself, they're intimately connected and they're coupled. If we make the decision to actually treat ourselves right, we make a decision to actually want to change our lives, amazing things start to happen if we truly, truly decide on it, right? It's not just like, it says it's costing me a lot to restart. What do you mean restart? Alicia, what do you say? What do you mean restart? But it's a decision. It's our decision. If we want life, life's there for us. We can reduce inflammation in the body through diet, through lifestyle changes, but we have to actually make the changes. Now, the depression is constantly telling us, oh, everything sucks. Just lay down before the, bow down before the heaviness. But we don't want to do that. We cannot do that. Don't bow down before that heaviness. Don't get down on yourself. Oh, you made a comment earlier. You said, oh, it's stupid. No, it's not stupid. It's human. It's not stupid to use food as a drug. We're hardwired to do it. It's not stupid to get addicted to things. We're hardwired for these addictions. But once it becomes conscious and once we realize we do have a choice, then it is our responsibility, right? You got to treat yourself right. And it's like, what did you want out of the diet in the first place before you slipped up? Probably wanted fat loss, and that's the low-hanging fruit, right? I'll look better in the mirror, or I'll feel more attractive around people, or I'll feel more secure around people due to my physical flesh vessel, my meat suit looking prettier. That's the low-hanging fruit. But really, like, the true beauty of it, the true gem in there is treating ourselves right, is actually living. It's actually treating others around us how we want to be treated. Treating our families and friends correctly and treating our body correctly and not just shoving crap down it when we know it's going to make us inflamed and not feel good, right? So it's like, if it's a sugar addiction, if it's this addictive cycle of I binge on sugar and then I feel guilty and ashamed and then I stop, this is like the classic addiction cycle. People who've had problems with alcohol, with hard drugs, pharmaceutical drugs, anything, even porn, stuff like that. It's the same behavioral cycle, and we're using food or drugs or porn or social media to zone out and to disconnect from feeling what's really inside and around us. So sometimes feeling what's really inside and around us can be freaky. Sometimes it can be frightening. And shoot, I mean, sometimes we don't want to deal with it, but it's really important that we do. That's really, the most important thing is to look inside and admit to ourselves what's really going on and to admit to ourselves the cycles of self-destruction that we've been engaged in and to extract our energy from those parasites, to step out of the cycle and move forward rather than in the same loop chasing our tail again. So let's move on. Hope that helps, Alicia. I mean, it can be hard, when I'm speaking to you with words and you're talking to me through text. So I hope I can get through. I can only do my best. Elizabeth says, I probably shouldn't be laughing, but I can't stop. This made my day. She's talking about me getting bit on the dick by a yellow jacket. Oh, it was horrible. Mealy says, I'm unable to go below my daily maintenance as a gym trainer, as my gym trainer has asked me to add fat and cancel protein macros. I'm sorry. All right. Let me read this again. I'm unable to go below my daily maintenance as my gym trainer has asked me to add fat and protein macros and cancel out on carbs almost completely. Any idea on how I can go about that? The wording on that, it's hard for me to understand. I'm sorry. I know English. You mentioned you're from India. English is your second language. I don't really understand the question there. So I'm going to move on. I'm sorry. All right. Hi, Tristan. Do you think keto diet would affect the menstrual cycle in a bad way? Been on keto for 2 months and ever since I've been missing it. Going to a doctor next week. All right, calorie restriction, intense calorie restriction, and stress can make women's periods go wacky. I mean, some women get corrections in their monthly cycle on a ketogenic diet. Jessica, for instance, her cycle is like clockwork when she does keto. She has been for, I think, 3 years now. So, and I've been doing keto for 4.5 years, which is crazy. So anyways, different people have different responses. The questions automatically scroll down and it makes me lose it. Man, we have so many people watching, so many people commenting. I'm getting lost in the comments here, guys. Sorry, I wanted to stay on track with that answer. Damien says, enjoying the first book, hitting the grocery today. I still think you really look like Jax Teller from SOA. Dude, I don't know what that is. I got your email, Damien. Thanks for the email, man. Who the heck's Jax Teller? I got to look up Jax Teller. I'll probably forget. I'll go read your email again if I've still got it. And I'm sorry, sometimes I don't have time to respond to all the emails and stuff I get. But yeah, dude, I read them. I read them. I try to read the comments too. Planning to start keto again. Is it possible to lose fat while in a calorie surplus? No. You're not going to lose fat in a calorie surplus because the very definition of a calorie surplus is just that. It's like calorie surplus is when you're gaining weight. Calorie surplus is when you're eating more than you're burning. Calorie deficit is defined as you're losing weight. Like, really, that's what's so funny about all this, like, oh, well, I'm eating at a deficit, but I'm not losing. Well, if you're eating at a deficit and you're not losing, it's not really a deficit, right? And that's, of course, there are extreme cases too, right? Where thyroid hormone disruptions, hormonal imbalances and stuff like that. And let's jump back to the women's cycle issue. Any diet you're doing. This was the answer I meant to give you earlier when I got sidetracked by reading all the comments and being amazed by, whoa, there's so many people watching. What's up, everybody? Women's cycles can get disrupted through extreme calorie restriction and stress. So if you're not sleeping well, if you're restricting your calories too much, and you're in ketosis, those all could be stressors on the body, especially if you're trying to adapt to keto and you don't have the mitochondrial machinery to burn the fat. The body can freak out. Keto is not for everyone. Intermittent fasting is definitely not for everyone. So I would check, if you're doing intermittent fasting, that might be the key right there. Chris says he's glad that Jessica's fine. Yeah, she survived. It was a brutal attack. Thanks for liking the video, you guys, and for mentioning the video. It's just, it's so crazy. The nature of social media and YouTube now is it's like you put out a video, people see it for a few days, and then it's just gone. You know, I mean, YouTube, the videos, the views used to keep going for a while, but just this candy nature of social media. People treat social media like candy now. So it's like you put out a cool video or a decent video and it gets views for a few days and then it just gets pushed back into the back of the Google gulag, never to be seen again. Keto with Honey Bunny says, I'm trying hard to accept it's okay to not eat as much when you are 100 plus pounds overweight, especially when people are freaking you out that you need to eat. People are crazy. All right, so these people that are freaking you out that you need to eat. First of all, they don't know what they're talking about. You stored over 100 pounds of body fat that you can tap into at any point in time. And that's the goal, is to tap into that body fat. Ketosis allows us to, for long periods of time, tap in to that body fat. It allows us to do it easily. It allows us to do it painfully. It allows us to not be hungry while we're burning that body fat. You're not hungry during your keto diet when you've got 100 pounds to lose because your body's down for it. Your body's ready for it. It's designed to be able to do this. And if you got 100 pounds to lose, you do not need to be eating 200 grams of fat, right? Take notes, Jimmy Moore. All right. Christopher Wilson says, sup, 2 months down, into 2 months into keto, and I'm down 40 pounds doing one meal a day. I just eat and forget. That's right, man. 2 months into keto, you're down 40 pounds. Now, of course, Christopher Wilson, there would be one of those situations where you could probably handle a big deficit. I assume you got more fat to lose. Keep going, man. Don't worry about this. Everyone's going to tell you, not everyone, but certain people who are just repeating things that other people say. Well, tell you, you're going to go into starvation mode. If you restrict your calories, it's bad. No, the way you lose body fat is you eat less. I mean, really, keto... I wish I could sit here with like a clean conscience and just lie to you guys and tell you, yeah, it's so easy. You eat whatever you want. You eat as fast as you want. You lose weight and calories don't matter. But I mean, it's just not true. Energy balance matter. The laws of physics matter. If you eat 5,000-10,000 calories, you're not going to burn your own body fat, guys. It just is what it is. All right, especially for an extended period of time, right? Somebody might be able to, through adaptive thermogenesis and through just pissing out a bunch of calories when your body doesn't want to deal with them, somebody might, on a ketogenic diet, be able to increase their calories for, you know, a few weeks above maintenance and not see any fat gain or anything like that. But that doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody, you know, and it's about specific context. If you've got a lot of weight to lose, eating a lot of keto foods is not going to allow you to lose a lot of weight, right? Of course, in the beginning, you want to enter ketosis, get adapted to it, and let your hunger drop naturally. And then when your hunger drops, you move forward.
and you eat less. And those calories from the fat that you're not putting on your plate are then going to come from the fat that you put on your body. I'm sorry, from the fat that you already had on your body, rather. And you'll burn that. Okay. Look at all these. This is crazy. So many comments. All right. Let's see what else here, guys. Kat says, OMG, my boss walked by when you were talking about man parts and she started laughing out loud. Kat D's on the clock. Keto Honey Bunny says, people fear for my life when I skip a few meals because I'm not hungry due to ketones. It is hard to not be peer pressured into eating. I mean, yeah, we live in a society where people are constantly drugging themselves with many behaviors, right? You're under constant pressure to... I mean, it's the tribal nature of humanity, right? People want to be justified and people want to be mirrored in their environment. And actually, you know, when you try to make changes, when we're trying to change our life, sometimes these social circles that we're in can be just a major... All right. Sometimes our social circle can be a major stumbling block. Look at my house. It looks like a toddler war zone in here. All right. Farmer Meemaw says, zero carbs does well for me when I can maintain it. Ariel Sanford says, does your brain need carbs to function? And that's a really good question. Now, I've been promoting keto for a long time. I've been doing keto for 4.5 years. I've been putting out keto content on this channel for like 3 years now. I'm well-versed in ketosis. I understand the benefits of keto. I use it all of the time. Let's see. Too many questions, and I read them. I need to not read them in between. But carbs... All right, the brain does need carbs. The brain does require glucose, not carbs. So it's a weird way of saying it. So it's like people will say, oh, well, the brain needs carbs. The brain runs on carbs. You can eat carbohydrate-based foods, or you can convert certain amino acids or the backbone of glycerol, which the backbone of the fatty acids, which is glycerol, you can create glycogen. You can refill your glycogen stores and you can create glucose for certain parts of the brain from these substrates, and that's called gluconeogenesis. So certain parts of your body require glucose, but your body takes care of it. Certain parts of your brain need glucose. Certain parts of your brain can only run on glucose, and your body will make that glucose from either fat or protein as needed. Holly says Jax Taylor is from Vanderpump Rules on Bravo. Vanderpump Rules. All right. Cordelia, what's up? I used to have a friend named Cordelia back in Santa Cruz. Shout out to Cordelia in Santa Cruz. Is probably not watching this. I just started keto. When do I start seeing weight loss? I'm on moderate trace of ketones right now. Will I start losing when I am in deep ketosis? Ketosis does not make you lose weight. Cordelia, you've come to the right place. I'm going to save you lots of time. Lots of energy, and probably a lot of money here. So ketones do not equal fat loss. Ketones are present when we break down fatty acids. When we are excluding carbohydrates from the diet, our body will break down fatty acids, turn them into ketones. Parts of the brain will run off of those. The heart likes ketones, and many of the muscle tissues will use ketones in the beginning. After we become better adapted to ketosis, I've got to just not read the questions as they come. After we get better adapted to ketosis, the muscle tissues and the peripheral tissues will oxidize fatty acids directly for energy. The brain will still use ketones, and parts of the brain will use glucose. And, man, look at all these. What's up, everybody? We got a lot of new viewers here. So, yeah, Cordelia. Ketones, basically, what I'm getting at here, ketones are an energy source. They're the byproduct of the breakdown of fatty acid, and you turn fatty acids into ketones, you can burn them. But just because ketones are present doesn't mean that you're burning your own body fat. You can elevate your ketones right now through buying a $5 to $10 supplement, like $5 per dose, not like $5 to $10. $5 to $10 supplements per dose. Five to 10, all right, so many comments and questions. I get so distracted with all you people here.
Ketones don't make you lose weight. You can burn fat from your body or you can burn it from the plate. Hey, that even rhymed. So ketones don't make you lose body fat. Ketones are just byproducts of the breakdown of fat. You can eat a bunch of MCT oil or coconut oil and push your ketones up. You can buy a $5 to $10 per dose rip-off supplement that will push your ketones up. But that doesn't mean that you're going to be burning body fat. When you push your ketones up like that, you might not be hungry, but you're not hungry because your body just broke down a bunch of fat from your plate, not from your body. So here's what I want you to do. Cordelia, you've got a lot of weight to lose. You're in it for the long run. Please do not get distracted by quantifying things that you're not understanding. When you're measuring your blood glucose and your blood ketones right now, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're doing and you're wasting your money. Now, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just telling you straight up and trying to save you time. The reason people are promoting the constant measuring of ketones is because these people don't know the heck they're talking about as well. People follow fads. People follow trends. People follow herds. This is classic human psychology, classic human behavior. Keto is really popular right now. Everybody's jumping on the bandwagon, promoting it, and repeating the same crap. Every time you're buying these blood ketone strips, you're spending money to quantify something that you don't really understand in its context. You're going to have different ketone levels at different times of the day. After a meal, you'll have less ketones. First thing in the morning, you might have less ketones. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, if you're on a normal circadian rhythm, will probably yield more ketones than any other time of the day. Right after a workout, you might have less ketones. Depending on the type of workout, you might even have a little bit more ketones after that workout. So Cordelia, you say you just saw my video about how those ketone strips are useless. So you understand the concept. Every time we're taking those little test strips, pricking our finger in it, creates this mind state, then this confusion, then this, oh, I don't know if this is good or bad. That state that you're in right there keeps you running back to people's shit. It keeps you putting more money into the cycle. It's like a slot machine, right? So quit feeding your blood to your gigapet and keep the blood in your body. Now, for long-term fat loss, here's the formula. Super simple. Write this down. 0.8 grams per pound of your lean body mass or of your goal lean body mass. So if you weigh, I don't know, 220 pounds right now, you're trying to get down to 140 pounds and, I don't know, say 15, 20% body fat. So you're going to do 0.8 grams per pound of your lean body mass. Lean body mass is your fat-free mass. So you subtract your fat mass from your total body mass. 0.8 grams per pound of your lean body mass is your protein level. Stick with that. That's enough protein. Even if you're resistance training, it'll help you maintain lean muscle tissue. And the purpose of protein macro in the diet, the purpose of protein is, well, there are many purposes, right? But I want you to look at protein as a satiety-based food, as a satiety-inducing food. You put this in your mouth, it makes you not hungry. Every single meal you eat, protein is the center of the plate. It is the cornerstone. It's the stone that the builders refuse, and it'll always be the head cornerstone of your meals in your diet. So protein, 0.8 grams per pound of your lean body mass, eat that much protein. Then, no. Then, keep your carbohydrates low. 20 to 30 grams net carbs maximum. Get those from whole foods, not from Quest bars. Get those from spinach, cucumber, celery, kale, avocados, stuff like that. Those are the carb sources. Those are not a source of energy. Those are a source of fiber and micronutrients. And fat is the energy source. You got a lot of fat on the body that you want to burn. So you don't want to put a whole bunch of fat on the plate. Since you've been doing keto for a little while, once your hunger drops, then I want you to focus on getting the protein in. Get the vegetables in and let your body eat its own fat. The fat that comes with the protein sources, of course, will be a good source of fat. You're probably never going to go below, like, I don't know, 80, 90 grams of fat naturally through getting enough protein. So yeah, that's what's up. Less fat on your plate means you burn more fat on your body. More fat on your plate means you burn less fat on your body because energy balance does matter. And keto is a really clever way to kind of hack that energy balance equation by tricking the body hormonally into not being hungry. So that's what is up. Ronald Wittman says, still having back problems? I don't have any problems, my friend. My back is on my body, my back, my body's alive, my body's thriving. Problems are what people bitch and complain about. I don't have problems. John Titor says, I'd love to get your thoughts on intermittent fasting versus alternate day fasting. Been doing IF for a while, hit a plateau, then started alternate day fasting, and the plateau is over. Is alternate day fasting bad long term? 29 pounds to go. John Titor, alternate day fasting is not bad long term in context. You know, I mean, there's a lot of the clients that I work with have stressful lives, don't sleep that well. They might be mothers. There might be females who've had a history of hormonal imbalances, thyroid issues, stuff like that. So for those individuals, alternate day fasting might not be good to do long term. For you, it might be great. So if you're not sleeping well, if you're super stressed out, then you might want to chill on that stuff. But hey, if it's working for now, keep going. Have you heard Dr. McDougall's potato diet? My nephew doing it and lost a lot of weight. Seems to go against low carb. This is the thing. People set up camps and they pretend like their camp is the only one that's legitimate. Of course Dr. McDougall's potato diet works really well. I don't think he didn't invent that. I'm pretty sure. This was somebody else who was doing this in the early 20th century. And eating a diet of just potatoes will make you lose a lot of weight. How crazy is that? Man of War 347, what's up, man? Holly Tova, what is up, Holly Tova? All right, we had a lot of people positively reinforcing Alicia. Letitia says, don't be so rude with yourself, Alicia. Yeah, exactly. Don't focus on what other people are worried about. All right, that's part of the issue. Focusing on other people's perception, outsourcing our perception of life, of reality, of ourselves to other people, or to television, to corporate media news, to social engineering. I mean, we outsource our perception, and we can't do that. We don't want to outsource our perception. Look inside, Alicia. You got this, girl. All right, let's see. Kat says, Tristan, I'm starting keto again Monday. Remember a few weeks ago, I was sulking myself. My sister-in-law is going to be keto with me. That's cool, Kat. Right on, Kat. Man of War has been going hard on keto for 5 months and losing weight like crazy. 4 months to go. Congrats, man. Keep it up. All right. Let's see what else here. We have so many comments. We got so many people watching. Let's see. All right. Any idea on how to tighten loose skin after weight loss? All right. So, Rebecca, that's a really cool question. What I want you to do is I want you to look up on my channel, search Tyler. Tyler. The first interview I did with Tyler, we talked about his loose... Actually, it might have been the second interview I did with Tyler. We talked about his journey getting rid of loose skin. Unfortunately, there's no, like... quick fix, right? Like, oh, drink your apple cider vinegar and you're gonna get loose, your loose skin's gonna go away. There's no quick clickbait answer for that. There are surgeries available. If you need to get in contact with a quality surgeon that's outside of the United States in Mexico, I know of a very talented, quality, high-end surgeon that works in a private hospital that you can get work done for much less than you're going to find in the United States. So if you email me, Tristan at PrimalEdgeHealth.com, I can put you in touch with her. Eslam says, everyone is entitled now on social media. They even complain if the video didn't live up to their expectations. It's crazy. Social media is crazy. It's an echo chamber, social media. And it's crazy. So being somebody who uses social media to reach out to his audience, somebody who uses social media as a business platform as well, there's been a lot of changes in the last few years. And YouTube is definitely changing a lot. I don't know. I don't spend time on Facebook because it is a toxic culture. So I don't mess with it much. But I'll put up links and stuff on there and answer comments and stuff on our page. But yes, most of social media is just... peacocking and posturing and people pretending to they're just people arguing over the talking points the media gives you through the news. And most people don't know what the hell they're talking about anyways. But it is a way to reach out and, you know, talk to all you amazing people too, right? So it's like I go back and forth when just thinking, oh man, I want to get off of all this social media so much. But then it's like at the same time, you get to talk to people like Alicia out there. Emma, mutant stoner. Mountain Bear says, I'm glad the Scorpion Queen is okay. Tell her to make a recipe out of them for revenge. Yeah. Well, she's a Scorpio. Her birthday is November 1st. She is a Scorpio attacked by two scorpions in the month of Scorpio. Millie Iyer says, my mom's having a condition called Crohn's, and it's an autoimmune condition. I've read a few blogs saying keto can help regulating. Is that backed by science? Is it backed by science? That's such a funny question, right? First of all, to appeal to science as if it's a unified, monolithic entity, although socially acceptable, is not intellectually sound, right? Like people conjure the word science like they're talking about God, and I think it's hilarious. Is this backed by science? Is this real? So, look, Crohn's disease, autoimmune condition, inflammation, intense disruption in the gut microbiome. Cutting back on the foods that are offensive to the body is a huge step, right? So getting off of wheat, grains, removing lectins from the diet can be really beneficial, and keto helps you do all those things. So I've heard of people getting complete remission of Crohn's with keto, and of people getting partial remission of some symptoms. So, you know, I mean, it's like, yeah, I'm sure you can find somebody, some fad marketer who's going to tell you, yeah, keto will do everything. Keto will wipe your ass. Keto will change this for you, change everything for everybody. But for something like Crohn's, any autoimmune condition, and shoot, even fat loss in general, we're looking at long-term lifestyle changes. We're not just looking at behavioral changes concerning diet. We're looking at behavioral changes concerning movement, concerning social circles, concerning sleep. I mean, everything. These things all... we talked about the immune system's connection to the brain earlier, right? And how parts of the brain that regulate social interaction also regulate the immune system. How crazy is that? So, I mean, we're looking at a multifaceted system, systems within systems. And we've got to take a holistic approach to healing these things. Okay. Eslam Omar says, makes you wonder what else is being sold and marketed as essential. And it's as good as a pile of shit. Well, there's a lot of things. I mean, this is... Look, I don't want to just sit here and rip on all the crazy marketing fads out there and just talk about the things that I don't like. But it's like, yeah, there is a lot of crap out there that's marketed as necessary, that's not necessary, and a lot of it that's dangerous. Right? So look at that green stuff on my mouth. Chlorella. With chlorella lips. My teeth got chlorella too. I mean, I think, how about sodium fluoride? Huh? Sodium fluoride is put in the water supply, marketed as something that's beneficial for our teeth, put in toothpaste, but is a neurotoxin that decreases children's IQ, destroys the immune system. So it's kind of crazy. Check it out. All right, we were talking about this the other day, right? Talk about social media. This douchebag, Likings Pro TV, says, hey guys, smiley face, I am live right now and love to meet some nice people. I'm also giving away free socks. Damn, dude, you must be straight from your Gary Vaynerchuk hype-up speech. You're going to change the world, bro. Yeah, I'm so glad you found your purpose selling socks on other people's YouTube channel. Good luck. I'm not even going to delete you. You're just pathetic. This is like pathetic marketing campaigns that... Oh, man. Ridiculous. So, yeah, if anybody wants to go buy socks from Likings Pro TV, go hit them up. Douchewad. Maria. Maria. Right on. Do you think... let's see. What do you think is the real cause of heart disease? Daniel Stanley, there's no... What do I think is the real cause of heart disease? That's like saying, what is the real cause of cancer? What is the real cause of inflammation? What is the real cause of immune dysfunction? What is the real cause of atherosclerotic plaque buildup? There are many different things that can cause it. Now, high cholesterol is not the cause of heart disease. I'll tell you that. cholesterol, high cholesterol, is actually associated with better, with improved outcomes of mortality, meaning like you don't die when you have high cholesterol, when you do have a myocardial infarction or something like that. So people who get heart attacks, the ones who got high cholesterol, they live more. Strange, right? All right, Shane says, thanks for all the great advice. I've lost 95 pounds since January 1st, eating keto and intermittent fasting. My type 2 diabetes is non-existent now, and blood pressure has dropped to normal. Dude, that's really cool. Emma Neller says, that's my birthday too. Oh, you share a birthday with Jessica. That's pretty cool. Okay. Leonard says, how do you feel the potato diet will affect your body? Will the potato raise insulin and make you store fat? How about mutational deficiencies? No, so if you're doing something like the straight potato diet, your insulin sensitivity is going to improve greatly. Now see, this is the thing with the extremist nonsense in this keto field. Like, people attach to it, they attach their livelihood to an idea, and they get hyperbolic and they get myopic, rather. They get real nearsighted with it. You can lose lots of body fat on a very low-fat diet and improve your insulin sensitivity and improve blood glucose markers dramatically. Fat mixed with carbohydrate. Fat actually causes insulin resistance. Let me repeat that. Dietary fat will cause insulin resistance, especially polyunsaturated fatty acids. Those will directly cause insulin resistance. But eating a lot of fat, whether it's saturated fat or PUFA or monounsaturated, will create peripheral insulin resistance. That means your body tissues, like your muscles and stuff, don't want to take up that insulin. They don't want to take up the glucose, rather, because you're saving it for the brain. So when you're eating a high-fat ketogenic diet, your body becomes insulin resistant in your peripheral tissues. This is normal. This is healthy. It's called physiological insulin resistance. Eating a lot of fat will create that state. Eating an excess of fructose can create insulin resistance in the liver, hepatic insulin resistance. Really interesting. So if you eat high carb plus high fat, you're going to get hepatic insulin resistance. You're going to get peripheral insulin resistance, and you're going to be flooding your body with two fuel substrates that it doesn't know how to use. It's not burning fats efficiently. You don't have the mitochondria to do that. And you're flooding it with glucose, which it'll preferentially burn first. But because all the fats are there, it's blocking the uptake of the glucose, creating the insulin resistance and a vicious cycle of hunger, inflammation, and overeating. Boom. Potato diet removes all the fat. You're eating just carbohydrates, very little protein as well. That diet can actually create very insulin sensitive state and help you drop body fat really, really quickly. Eating a really bland diet like that is actually a really good strategy for losing fat. Believe it or not, and I'm not saying I recommend the potato diet. I'm putting this into context for you guys. I don't ever put clients on a potato diet. If I've got clients that have a lot of body fat to lose, keto's the way I go. But I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that you can't lose fat off of a keto diet. There's plenty of ways to lose fat that are not keto. I prefer keto, though. Elizabeth says, I can only speak to my experience. I have Crohn's, and it has helped me. As long as I stick to the correct foods, I have no issues or flare-ups. Yep, there you go. But see, there's Elizabeth, as you've noticed, there's going to be keto foods that'll still cause symptoms to rise in you, right? So it's like, it's not just, oh, well, keto is going to do it. If you're doing keto and you have a sensitivity to certain foods that you're still eating, I wouldn't expect very good results in those cases. But I'm really glad that you're doing well. That's awesome. All right. Preston, what's up, man? Says, true or false? Intermittent fasting for 16 hours and then breakfast with keto diet, proteins and fats. Some say that when we break fast, insulin will put fat back in the cell. What do you think? Insulin is constantly shuttling nutrients in and out of cells. Fat cells are constantly being dumped, are being emptied out and refilled all the time. So these people that are telling you about the insulin fairy, that are spreading these crazy ideas about insulin, they haven't done much research on insulin's actual function in the body as kind of a metabolic barometer for what's going on. Breaking your fast with proteins and fats is not going to make you fat. You're super insulin sensitive and you need this energy source. So when your body does shuttle those nutrients throughout it, it does it very intelligently. It's not just a binary, dumb computer machine where it's ones and zeros. People want to make it seem like the marketing makes it seem like the metabolism is ones and zeros, binary system on and off. It's not like that. All right. Mutant Stoner says, I got 99 problems and my back ain't one. Right? Like, what is it? Like, I wasn't trying to be rude with that answer, but it's just like, it's such a bait question, right? It's like, hey, you want to complain about your back? It's like, dude, I deal with back pain. I've had it. I've had major injuries. But you know what's been really cool for my back lately? For the individual who asked. And thank you. I'm sure you weren't trying to be rude, but it's like, it's just a funny thing. It's like, you know, hey, let's pick that wound right there. Everyone likes to open up people's wounds. And I know you're not really doing that. I'm projecting. But yeah, you know what's been really cool for my back lately? Riding horses. I was afraid. I thought it wouldn't be okay. I thought it would really mess up my posture and my hips. But riding, and I'm going to go ride this afternoon again, has actually been incredibly helpful for my posture and for my hips. All right. Cordelia says, will do. That's what I have been doing. We'll continue to do that. Exactly. Get your protein in. Sufficient fats to where you're not super hungry. But if your hunger is low, you don't need a bunch of fats. Just reduce it down. You're probably never going to want to go below 60, 70 grams as a female. So you got it. Cat D says, Gigapet. You're showing your age and mine. Exactly. Remember 1997? The Gigapet. You guys should look at the, I made a funny preview image. Probably won't even see it because it's so small. It's on YouTube. All right, Daniel Stanley. I just saw your question again. The real cause of heart disease. We talked about that for a bit. I hope that answer suffices you. There's no real silver bullet answer of what causes heart disease or what causes cancer. We're looking at decreasing inflammation. Ways to avoid heart disease, though. Keep inflammation low. Not eating a bunch of refined carbohydrates. Low-quality foods, trans fats, inflammatory polyunsaturated fatty acids, getting sufficient sleep, getting sufficient sunlight, all of these will improve general health. Eslam's rad. Eslam, you need to, like, I'm just going to employ you to do social media marketing for me. I like talking to people. But, like, not using Facebook and all this. I know you've emailed me before, dude. I'm joking, too. Like, but Eslam says, screw the free socks. A free Ketogenic Edge cookbook is far better. Elizabeth says, my sensitivities are to beans and corn. So keto works great for me. Elizabeth, are you still here? If you're still here, Elizabeth, just because of Eslam and because I like your comments and you're trying to encourage people, you're paying it forward, you're moving forward with your life, you're taking control of your health. Elizabeth, if you're still around, comment. You still there, Elizabeth? Cat D says, is there a lactose-free butter you'd recommend? Most butter doesn't have very much lactose in it, but you can make ghee. Just make yourself ghee out of whatever butter you can afford. It depends on where you live, too. I'm all about local organic stuff, right? So when we get butter, we get it locally. We find a local producer wherever we happen to be in the world. If that's Ecuador, where we live right now, where we live the last 8 years, that's where we get it from. So we find a local producer of high-quality grass-fed butter, and we just make ghee out of that. All right. Glam says, I'm gaining weight, even though I've been strict keto for months. There must be some kind of inflammation. I need to figure it out. So frustrating. Look, Glam a zone. you're gaining weight on keto. We were just talking about, a little bit earlier, we were talking about why a lot of the marketing is confusing to people. When people are telling you calories don't matter, that how much food you eat doesn't matter, because that's what you're saying. If you say calories don't matter, you're saying it doesn't matter how much food you eat. All that matters is your macros are in a certain percentage. That's nonsense. As you've just shown right there, you've been gaining weight on keto. I'm sorry, but you're going to want to rewind about 20 minutes, and maybe 30 minutes, and actually revisit the advice that I was giving the individual earlier about fat loss for keto when you got a lot of fat to lose. 0.8 grams per pound lean body mass and protein. Keep your carbs low. Create the deficit through the dietary fat. So drop this dogma about I need 80% fat or 70% fat. None of that stuff matters. None of the macronutrient percentages are relevant at all, because you can enter ketosis eating a 100% carb diet. So say you only ate one bite of broccoli the whole day, or just like a serving of broccoli. That'll be all carbohydrates. A little bit of amino acids, but not complete amino acids. It'll be all carbs, and you'll still be in ketosis. Elizabeth, where you at? Elizabeth, who had Crohn's and was using keto to change your life and take control of it. Elizabeth says, no problem. If your keto doesn't like the flavor, you can add a bit of erythritol to sweeten it a bit. Erythritol is great for kids. I mean, a lot of these keto treats can be really, really good for kids, especially with behavioral issues. Now, of course, you know, I wouldn't put kids on a ketogenic diet. But giving kids a high-fat diet with sufficient protein and fat and keeping the processed carbs out of it, like getting them off grains and stuff, is huge. Our kids love our keto foods. One of the favorite recipes in the house recently was that keto carrot cake. The recipe is for free on our website, and it's available on our YouTube channel right now. And that recipe is from The Ultimate Guide to Low-Carb Baking. So you can find that exclusively at PrimalEdgeHealth.com. That carrot cake recipe is amazing. Crystal says she's making it for Thanksgiving to share with her family. That's awesome. Elizabeth, where you at? Did you take off, Elizabeth? I hope you didn't leave, Elizabeth. All right, the Oops E Daisy. That's a cool name. Says, hi, I'm a beginner at keto. What's the ideal sugar level in a glucometer that we should have during keto? And can you talk about electrolytes? Stop feeding your gigapet. If you're not a diabetic, you don't know what you're looking at, and you don't know what you're really measuring. Why are you measuring your blood glucose all the time? You want your blood glucose to be in a safe, normal, healthy range, a non-diabetic range. That's all. So some people are like, your blood glucose has got to be in the 80s or you're not in ketosis. That's not true. There's some people that have a theoretical framework that posits that to get the maximum benefits of ketosis, you'll want to be at about, I think it's Seyfried, it says you want to be at 2 and up on ketones, and you want to be 80 and under on blood glucose. That's one dude's opinion. You can be in ketosis and be at any blood glucose level as long as you're not, you know, if you're not diabetic though, which obviously you're not diabetic because you're asking me this question, please don't waste your money on these blood glucose strips. Please don't waste your money on blood ketone strips. All right, Elizabeth's back. Where are you at, Elizabeth? Elizabeth says she already has both cookbooks. Aw, wanted to hook you up. All right, Elizabeth, you're awesome. You're just awesome. Just a shout out to Elizabeth. I wanted to give her a cookbook, but she already has them. I'm glad you have them. I'm glad you're enjoying them. Anyways, I was talking about that carrot cake recipe. That's a really good one for Thanksgiving. Crystal's going to make that recipe for Thanksgiving. I think we might have to put up another recipe, a modified version of either the carrot cake, or maybe we'll do a different one. Maybe we'll do, there's another recipe in there called the keto coffee cake. And if you do that one with like a maple buttercream frosting with collagen in it, and you could even, all right, that might be going too far. But anyways, you're adding collagen to the frosting. It's a really good way to kind of boost the nutrient density and make it really a little bit more crystally and thick. And it also makes it more nutritional for kids and stuff. You know, collagen and gelatin are incredible, incredible additions to the diet. Very, very important for gut health, and really, really delicious too. So yeah, I think we're going to do another. I guess I'm forcing it now. Now that I've announced it, it must happen. It's been spoken. We're going to do the keto coffee cake recipe, and we'll add a maple frosting. That's another good one. That's just like bring into potlucks, bring into, you know, I mean, if you're going to a Christmas dinner, or a Thanksgiving potluck, or a Thanksgiving dinner with friends and family, you want to cover your bases so you don't have to break your diet by bringing your own foods. Bring good stuff that you can eat, that you can feel good eating. Elizabeth says, I'm going to make homemade marshmallows by using Lakanto instead of sugar. What are you going to use for the marshmallows? I've always wondered what marshmallows really are. Have you ever had marshmallow root? So I'm really into herbs and botanicals. Marshmallow root, something I played with years ago, and it's really good. It's very sweet, and it's super soothing on the gut lining. That's why I was using it. Marshmallow root was to heal my gut lining back in the day. Scent says, what is the theory you were talking about when your muscles won't take in glucose? Is that insulin resistance or a different type of problem? That's not a problem. Scent Fitty. It's not a problem. It's called peripheral insulin resistance, and it's actually desired in a ketogenic state because your muscles do not need glucose. Parts of your brain need that glucose. So your muscles become insulin resistant in the process, in the presence of a bunch of fatty acids, and that keeps you able to actually maintain ketosis because you use that glucose for your brain. Kat says, my sister-in-law is lactose intolerance. Thanks for the answer. Okay, what's going on here? Shane says, it can take a few months for keto to drop morning numbers. The liver has to heal and stop dumping glucose. Took mine about 3 months. Yeah, you need to, well, it's, you're getting rid of the hepatic insulin resistance. And once you burn the visceral fat tissue, you become less insulin resistant. So it's not like, oh, the keto has to heal you from the evil carbs. No, it's you are eating high carb and high fat. You got insulin resistance in the liver and the peripheral tissue. And it takes time to clear out the fat deposits from the liver. So yeah, I mean, you're to a certain extent, you're right. But you kind of loaded the question with like a negative and positive. I think it's all a positive. It's like, yeah, you might not have 80 blood glucose when you first wake up in the morning. That doesn't mean you're a failure. It doesn't mean you need to go spend a bunch of money on some guru's nonsense. It just means that you're human and that you've been overweight and you've still got some insulin resistance. But it doesn't mean you can't lose weight. It doesn't mean you're unhealthy. And some people who are not even insulin resistant will have blood glucose of like 105 in the morning, right? The dawn phenomenon. Disrupted circadian rhythm can also increase your blood glucose. We need to make sure we understand what we're measuring and why we're measuring it. And let's stop outsourcing and just, we're collecting data and people are outsourcing their perception, right? So it's like, instead of looking and just tuning in to what's going on inside, and this is something I really want this to stick. Tune into what's going on inside of you. Why are you worried about feeding this, like looking at your stupid GigaPet and your GigaPet tells you, oh, you've got 2.0 blood ketones. Okay, great. I'm a success now. Or I've only got 0.7 blood ketones. I'm a total infidel failure who's burning glucose. I'm subhuman. You know, it's like this is crazy. It's crazy rhetoric. And we're being influenced in a negative way by a lot of this marketing, unfortunately. Keep it simple. Quantify your life through your experience, through your sensory perceptions. This is not a binary system. There's no ones and zeros in here, right? This is, your senses are amazing. You've been given a sense of sight, a sense of smell, a sense of taste. You can feel the energy around you flowing through the water, through the fascia tissue in your body, through the electrical currents that are sparking and igniting all in that vessel. Feel that. If you start to feel better, you can feel when your inflammation goes down. You can feel when you're super inflamed, right? Like when I start getting off track, my sleep gets crappy. If I'm eating bad foods, which I don't do anymore, but if my sleep is poor, if I'm working too hard, if I'm stressed out, I feel the inflammation. I feel the effects in my body. So let's use that. Let's use this vessel that we've been given, that we've been blessed with, that we've been given these senses, these incredibly, I mean, our bodies are so sensitive to our environments. You're a walking barometer. I mean, we're in constant communication with all the systems around us. Like you feel these vibrations vibrating in your ears. You can feel the subtle wide sound vibrations. You can feel the wind tickling across the little tiny hairs on my body right now. That's my senses. I don't outsource that to a blood glucometer to tell me if I'm successful with my diet or not. If I want to lose body fat, I measure body fat loss. If I want mental clarity, I measure that mental clarity. Everybody's getting obsessed with this like quantification of everything, the big data. And we're just feeding into a system of confusion with a lot of the stuff. You know, I mean, you're collecting data on your blood glucose and your blood ketones with no context on what you're measuring, on the diurnal rhythms that are happening, on the circadian rhythms effect on our hormone levels, on our energy production. And quite frankly, people are turning a diet that's supposed to make life better. people are turning this diet into something that's more confusing, that's more expensive, and that's more frustrating than actually having a chronic disease like diabetes. How crazy is that? People are turning a ketogenic diet, which is supposed to help you reverse diabetes, which does help you reverse diabetes, but some people are turning this into something that's more complicated than actually having diabetes. For non-diabetics, let's dial it in. Let's keep it simple. Quantify with your senses, not with your blood glucometer, your gigapet. Aaron says, what's your take on net carbs versus total carbs? Net carbs, my friend. If you're going for whole foods, net carbs, but don't play the, you know, Quest Bar net carbs game. That doesn't work. Mountain Mama says, LOL, I always bring my own food. Oh yeah, it's all about bringing your own food. Gabriella says, you just made me 10 times more excited for Thanksgiving with that keto carrot cake. Do it. Make the keto carrot cake for Thanksgiving. It's so good. Also in the Ketogenic Edge cookbook, and this one's a little bit more involved. The keto carrot cake's a simple recipe. You can make that in 15 minutes. My daughter can make that recipe, and it's so good. But there's another one. What is it called? It's like a peanut butter cup pie or something. If you go into the Ultimate Guide to Low Carb Baking, there's this peanut butter pie that's so decadent and so amazing. Now, this is not something like the carrot cake is a little bit more of like a healthy recipe. This one's got a lot of peanut butter in it, which, hey, some peanut butter is delicious. Let's all admit it's not the greatest food, right? There's some monounsaturated fat, but also high polyunsaturated fatty acids. So I don't think peanuts are the greatest food in the world, but for Thanksgiving, making something like that peanut butter pie, and we use gelatin in it. And that's kind of the real key right there. It's like, it's a cheesecake rather. I think it was called, she called it a peanut butter cup cheesecake. The gelatin is incredible. The gelatin actually gives it this amazing texture and hold and kind of cheesecake-like vibe, but also makes it really nice for the gut and really digestible. Okay. Shane says, I only test blood glucose because of type 2 diabetes, so I can see how my body reacts to food. I have never tested for ketones. There was no point. I was losing weight and felt great. There you go, man. Yeah, you're testing for glucose because you're type 2 diabetic. So type 2 diabetics actually understand what they're measuring. They actually understand that there is a rhythm, there are natural changes in your blood glucose, and that there are behaviors other than just ketosis or not ketosis that'll affect that. So let's not get myopic. Let's not turn keto into something more confusing than we need to. All right. What else? Joanne Plans. What's up, Joanne? Volta Speeder says, I got to thank Jessica and you for introducing me to psyllium husk. Such a good alternative to gluten in the casual flour. Binds things so well, and it's healthy too. Made pancakes with them. Loved them. Volta Speeder, thanks, man. Yeah, the psyllium husk is great. Psyllium husk, that's something we've been using for like, I mean, Jessica and I started using psyllium husk back in 2008 as a recipe, like when we were playing around with a raw food diet. That's funny. I just got so many memories. But we used it in a different context back then. We hadn't baked with it until this last year. But it is a really amazing substance. But also using gelatin and collagen in baked goods is a really good idea too. We use gelatin collagen in several of the recipes in the Ultimate Guide to Low Carb Baking. And those of you who are interested, and we've talked about a couple of books now. We talked about the first book. The first book was the Ketogenic Edge Cookbook. My wife worked on that for over a year and a half. That's the basics, right? That's got Mama's Best Meatballs in it. It's got that Keto Flatbreads recipe, which is on our website for free. And it's got all sorts of the basic recipes. Building a foundation of food prep habits is super important. I didn't know how to prepare food for myself until I was like 23 years old. I was a mess. It's super important for us to know how to make our own food. So you can find both of those books at primaledgehealth.com. The Ultimate Guide to Low Carb Baking is the one that I would recommend for the holidays. Aaron Burrow says, dude, people don't realize how easy keto food is, easy as hell to make. But all my friends who need it just won't even try to take the time to try. Aaron, that's what's up. Aaron, all right. Are you still here, Aaron? Aaron Burrows? Says I'm putting coconut flour, 4 to 6 tablespoons in cream cheese. Cheesecake recipes makes it taste just like real cheesecake. Just a tip. Texture is amazing. There's other ways to do it too, man. I want you to, all right, here, Aaron, what's your email, man? I like your comments, and I feel like giving away a book right now. Thanks for dropping in, Aaron. What's up, Liz? Liz says, I've been told for years there was no cure at Mountain Mama, so I'm so relieved to hear these success stories. She's talking about Crohn's. Yeah, exactly. There's no cure, right? There's no cure, meaning there's no pill that can be marketed to you. But a holistic lifestyle change can almost always beneficially affect autoimmune conditions. Liz Fox, it's your life, it's your body, take it back. That's your right, that's your birthright. You inhabit that body, own it. Aaron Burrows, you still here, dude? All right, Aaron. Yeah, give me your email, Aaron. All right, so Aaron Burrows, keeping it positive, giving people recipe tips, and just talking about how, like, I know you're young, man. I can tell you're young from your comment. Aaron Burrows says, dude, people don't realize how easy keto food is, easy as hell to make, but all my friends who need it just won't even take the time to try. All right, dude, I'm going to send you right now. I'm going to email you so I remember. I'm going to email you a copy of our books, man. I'm going to give you both books. The Ketogenic Edge Cookbook, as well as The Ultimate Guide to Low Carb Baking. Thanks for dropping in. Thanks for commenting, man. And for those of you who are interested in the books, you can find them at primaledgehealth.com. But I'm hooking up Aaron right here because, I don't know, I just like his comments. I haven't hooked him up with a free book in a little while on a live event. All right, Aaron. I'm sending you an email right now. You're going to get copies of both these books, The Ketogenic Edge Cookbook, as well as The Ultimate Guide to Low Carb Baking. Now, you're talking about cheesecake. Look up this peanut butter cup cheesecake recipe that's in the book. It's a decadent one. I think it's the only recipe that uses peanut butter in the whole book. All right, so the subject is, have a great life. All right, subject of your emails, have a great life. I'm sending you copies of both of our books, my friend. So yeah, you mentioned you tell your friends, you're trying to help your friends out. Look, dude, just make them foods. Like, bring them over to your house, make keto foods, give them to your friends, fill them up, have good conversation, enjoy their company, and pass it on, man. I mean, it really comes down to just like sharing energy with people, right? It's like you can't just shove it down someone's throat or tell them, dude, you got to eat keto. You got to do this keto diet because I think it's the best. It's like for some people, it's not the best. And some people need a little bit of tender love and care to get them interested in things like this. So make them some recipes from the book. Help them to enjoy it. And keep building your foundation of food prep habits, man. You're young, dude. If that's your real picture, you're young. And that's awesome, man. You're actually taking control of your health, taking control of your life. And it's of vital importance nowadays that young people start to take care of our bodies. I'm at 30 now. I guess I don't know if I can say I'm young. I'm not 30 years old. But man, when I was 22 years old, when I was 18 years old, I wish I had an idea on how to take care of myself. Aaron says he's 31. I guess 31-year-olds just look young to me now. Maybe I'm old at heart. Your picture looked old. You looked younger, dude. But anyways, just enjoy it. Enjoy the book. Make foods for your friends. Pass it on. Take care of yourself, man. Zach Fleshman says, what thoughts do you have on exogenous ketones? I picked up some magnesium, sodium, and calcium BHB mix. I think exogenous ketones are a waste of money. I don't buy them. People have sent me loads of them. They just sit on my shelf. I've taken a few doses of them. Not impressed. They don't make me feel awesome. I feel better if I'm on a straight ketogenic diet than if I take just the exogenous ketones. Aaron says, I just got good genetics. Well, crappy genetics. No, you got good genetics, man. You're 31. You look 21. That's awesome, man. When you're 40, you're not going to be complaining about looking young. Crystal Rossi says, Lakanto is excellent in keto baked goods. It really gives that brown sugar sweet taste. Yeah, that Lakanto stuff's rad, right? A lot of the recipes in the book. Cordelia. Cordelia's still here. What are you doing, Cordelia? What's your email? You still here? What's your email address, Cordelia?
Finding Emily says, hey Tristan, I'm beginning to understand how sleep and circadian rhythms can affect my health and fat loss. My husband isn't supportive of my new way of eating. I've stopped talking to him about it. It's difficult. Oh man. Just divorce him. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, look, family and friends trying to convince him. Why? I mean, all right. Start over, Tristan. Back up. First gear. You stop talking to him about it. It makes me think that there was probably like some sort of a clash, right? Like you stopped talking to him about it. You guys were probably beating each other up about it. My suggestion to people out there with family and friends, don't just talk about your diet to everybody. Don't talk about your diet. Don't tell everybody to do your diet. Don't shove it down their throat. The best way to go about it is to get the results, to enjoy the results. And then once people ask, then you tell them about it. So if your husband doesn't want to hear about it, shoot. I mean, the most likely scenario is that your husband has got a guilty conscience and he knows that it's something that he should be doing, but he doesn't want to do it, right? You're probably trying to help your husband lose some weight, get his shit together. Maybe, you know, certain behavioral patterns that you see that he's engaged in that you want him to break out of, but he doesn't want to break out of it. And every time you bring this diet thing up, it's like an open door for you to start, you know, kind of telling him, hey, this is what you got to do to get your shit together. Then his, you know, unconsciously and consciously, he's going to be really defensive against that, right? Like, oh, no, you can't tell me what to do. I got everything under control. So those types of situations can be really hard. The best thing for you to do is pack up your stuff when he's at work and just leave. No, I'm just kidding. No. Love him. Love him. Give him love. Like, you got to understand. You got to. It can be really hard for us to listen to the people that are closest to us, even if it's the right advice sometimes. And pride and stubbornness and shame and guilt can really mess things up. Mutant Stoner says that's exactly what happens in my family. Yeah, you gotta show them love. You gotta have patience with them and gently guide them through these things. And you gotta find the low-hanging fruit for them. So your husband, maybe every time you start talking about the diet, in his mind, you're just telling him, get your fat ass off the couch and lose some weight, chubs. Finding Emily says, he doesn't need to lose weight. His dad had a double bypass at 47. He's worried about heart disease. He eats a bunch of sugar. So there you go. Who wants to give up sugar? Who wants to give up these foods? For a lot of people, it's like, yeah, it's a major drug, right? I'm not saying that all carbohydrates are a drug, but sugar, like white sugar, these foods can be used as a drug. So, I mean, you're encroaching on sensitive territory there. He's been using sugar for a long time to regulate his brain chemistry, which is a normal human thing. It's a normal human response. And you take that crutch away and then other stress is going to be felt. So you got to find a way to help him deal with that and to substitute in some different, you need to get a different situation going on there. Aaron Burroughs, Sant Fitty. All right. Aaron says, let's see, what did you say? Aaron says, every one of my friends are gaining weight and they see me losing weight. It's infuriating sometimes. I notice that some people just have self-defeating attitudes. Man, you're right. Yeah, I mean, some people, look, most people have self-defeating attitudes. Let's not pretend about this, right? This is, most people have self-defeating, you said self-defeating attitudes. I would just say self-destructive habit patterns. All right, Emily. Wait, who said that? Wait, here we go. Elizabeth says, Lakanto is having a 50% off sale on their website right now. That's pretty cool. So Lakanto is an erythritol with monk fruit extract. And I like it a lot better than straight erythritol. I like it a lot. And monk fruit extract in and of itself has a lot of beneficial properties for lowering blood glucose, decreasing inflammation, but it's got an aftertaste. But Lakanto figured out a way to mix monk fruit extract with erythritol to get rid of that aftertaste. And it's a really good one-to-one substitute for sugar when you're baking. So in the Baked Goods Cookbook, The Ultimate Guide to Low-Carb Baking, we recommend using Lakanto in a lot of recipes, and you can use normal erythritol, but we really like Lakanto's brown, was it golden Lakanto, because it's like a brown sugar taste, and it's just really, really good. But apparently they're having a 50% off sale. They didn't even tell us. But if you go to Lakanto.com and you want an additional discount, you can use this coupon code.
The coupon code is Primal Edge Health, all lowercase, all one word. Primal Edge Health, the name of this channel and the name of our website. Use Lakanto. Use that coupon code on Lakanto.com. You'll get an additional 20% off of Lakanto, which is a really cool sweetener. It's actually the one we prefer to use. Or, you know, straight erythritol can be nice too. But for recipes like that carrot cake, the golden one brings out a really nice flavor. Zach Fleshman, concerning the, what's it called? The exogenous ketones. I've taken them for about a week, but I agree. I don't know if it's any distinct benefit, but it turns the strip purple. If only it mattered. Yeah. So this, how crazy is that, right? So this is, here's the game. You get people to chase ketones. You get them to buy into the ketone strips, to the piss strips, peeing all over your fingers. Then people want to justify their purchase and their behaviors, and they start buying these other products. Like, they buy those ketones. They buy the ketones. They eat the ketones. They pee on the strip, and it turns purple, and it's like this dopamine feedback loop from the GigaPet. That's not even the GigaPet. That's the pee strip. So you piss on your hands, and you get this rush. Like, oh, I'm in ketosis. And this is a self-perpetuating loop of, like, getting people to chase the ghost of ketosis when really it doesn't mean much of anything. Just because you're in ketosis doesn't mean you're burning body fat, doesn't mean you're doing well on your diet, doesn't mean you're better than anyone else. It just means you got ketones in your blood or your pee. Shane says, Lakanto Golden is awesome. Heard your recommendation and found it in our local health food store. That's cool, man. Get it from their website. Use our coupon code. Get 20% off, dude. Rima says, wisdom. I've been telling everyone about the diet, and I've realized now it's a big mistake. It happens, you know, like you realize something, so you wake up to something in the world and you want to share it. You want to spread it. Not everyone's ready for that knowledge you've got, and everybody's at a different place in their life. And sometimes you can share information or knowledge with people and it isn't always helpful, right? So yeah, don't shove it down people's throat. Don't become the keto evangelizer. Don't be the Westboro Baptist keto head. Mountain Mama says, I didn't tell, let's see. Gabriella says, this is my first time deciding to watch a live video on YouTube, and I gotta say, this was so much fun. Gabriella, are you still here? Scent Fitty says, if you do choose to eat carbs for fuel, do you have a recommended macro ratio for good health? There's, you know, I mean, it's going to be different for everybody, right? If you're a distance runner or a power lifter, you're going to have different macros that are going to be ideal. If you're me or my wife, you're going to have different macros that could be ideal. When I eat more carbohydrates, if I'm not doing keto, it probably just ends up being around 70 to 100 grams of carbs and still relatively high in fat. So we don't need as much carbs as we think we need, but the types of carbs we eat are really important. Cordelia is here, and she gave me her email. Cordelia, first of all, thanks for joining. Thanks for asking these awesome questions and for tuning in and for showing such excitement and for being so positive, for cheering on that other dude when he got his book. I'm going to send you the same email, Cordelia. All right, let's see. So, Cordelia, you just got a free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Low Carb Baking, which is Jessica's new book, and it's an amazing resource for the holidays. But not just for the holidays, I mean just for life in general. If you've got kids, if you've got spouses, if you've got friends and family that you're trying to help out and to help them change their habits, this is actually a really, really good tool for that. Because you can actually make nutrient-dense, whole foods-based stuff that can keep you on your keto diet, but taste good and entice your friends and family to actually join you and realize, hey, you can eat healthy foods, enjoy them, lose body fat, be healthy, and love life. Cordelia, where'd you go? Where'd your email go? I can't find it. So yeah, congratulations, Cordelia. Enjoy the book. I want you to check out the carrot cake recipe. And then another one of my favorite recipes in there. Where'd your email go? Cordelia, put your email in again. I lost it. There's too many people watching, too many comments. Thanks for commenting, you guys. Yeah, Cordelia, check out the keto carrot cake recipe, the coffee cake recipe, and those blackberry, I think they're blackberry or blueberry scones. No, the blueberry scones. Those ones are really good. And also the zucchini cookies. Those are an amazing one. I don't know. Check out all the recipes. Put your email in again, though, Cordelia. I lost it. I can't find it. All right. So Emma says, I was definitely eating too much fat, hence my fat loss stall. So obvious when you explain it. Look, sometimes it's just how people explain things, and unfortunately in like internet marketers, some of these dudes can explain things in a way where it almost sounds legit, and to 90% of people who aren't sure about this and who haven't done their own research, for 90% of those people, they'll just they'll believe that nonsense. Just because somebody says it convincingly doesn't make it true. We've got to do our own research. We've got to ask questions. And we've got to make up our own mind and actually experiment with ourselves. But unfortunately, you have to find out the hard way that you can eat too much fat on a ketogenic diet. All right, Cordelia. Actually, I'm sending you a copy of both books. I'm sending you a copy of both books. Cordelia, enjoy them. I know you've got a long road of fat loss ahead of you. It's going to be fun. It's going to be enjoyable. It's all about creating a solid foundation. It's all about creating a foundation of habits. Erasing that foundation of old habits that got you there and replacing what you're erasing with new beneficial habits that are conducive to what you want. So you want fat loss? You got to create the habits that'll give you that fat loss and help you maintain that fat loss. Cordelia says, dude, I love you. I will forever be a diehard follower. I don't want followers. That's the thing. Cordelia, I don't want you to be a follower. I want you to lead. I want you to take charge of your life. I want you to take the reins of your life and move forward. I don't want you to go out there, oh, this guy Tristan, he's so nice. He gave me this. But no. It's like you take that tiny little nugget that you've been given. You take those little embers, you blow on them, and you make a big-ass fire out of those embers, and you light up the world with that. Seriously, like, take it and run. Like, this is life. You're alive right now. See those nostrils on your face? The breath of life flows through those, and that's a gift. And that gift, we have no idea when that gift is over. So enjoy that gift. All right, Cordelia? You've been given life. It's amazing, right? I don't want you as a follower. Like, I want you to join, right? Move forward. I don't need followers. I don't want fans. I've got enough friends. I want you to live. And I want you to spread that. I want you to spread that love. Aaron Burrows, what's your take on berries, strawberries, and such? They have their place, Aaron. There's actually some really cool recipes. There's a three-berry jam in the Baked Goods Cookbook. And there's a blackberry pie, which is crazy. And it uses gelatin. It's so good. That blackberry pie is crazy. So yeah, berries can be good in moderation. If you're just starting out a ketogenic diet, you've got 100 pounds plus to lose, probably best to avoid low-sugar fruits, especially in the beginning. For everyone in the beginning, avoid the berries. After a few weeks, months, then go for it. Mountain Mama, she meant your channel. I know she meant the channel. I'm not giving her a hard time. She says, I meant fan. I don't want a fan. Cordelia, I want you to live your life. I want you to, like, really. Like, I want you to go out there and love your life and live your life and spread that. And spread that enthusiasm. Spread that zeal for life, for truth, for experience. For what's real, for what's visceral. Enjoy it. Teapot says, I also get frustrated with my husband's bad food choices. I just want him to be healthy. I tell him when his bad choices make him sick, he will be sorry, and I will be the one taking care of him. Ooh, man, but you gotta be careful with this. Now, these conversations can be dangerous and toxic in relationships. And they can be leverages that people can use to inflict pain and damage to each other psychologically and emotionally as like retribution for past trysts in relationships. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you got to be careful with this stuff. Like, don't just beat it. Don't just beat it into his mind and try to guilt trip him into it. The more you do that, the more he'll push back, depending on the type of individual and person he is. If he's like me, you push back more, right? Like, if he's a stubborn, strong, bullheaded person, then you've got to kind of judo move that. So just straight clashing with someone and like, you're going to die if you don't lose weight, sometimes that could work, but it's actually all about timing. Careful with that. Don't beat people over the head with it. But yeah, teapot, I mean, also it's like, look, your husband's got bad food choices, right? He uses food for pleasure. The bad food choices, it's all pleasure-seeking behavior, dopamine-seeking behavior, serotonin. I mean, we're trying to regulate our brain chemistry with these foods. We're using them as drugs. So what you want to do is you want to actually hit those same sweet receptors with keto-friendly foods. Listen to this. So instead of him eating like French toast with a bunch of maple syrup, which I don't even think maple syrup is a bad food in context, but if like bread, wheat, gluten, all the glyphosate infested foods, the industrial waste diet foods that are fed to the American public to dumb us down and slow down our cognitive processes, to clog up our body and create profitable little people. Finding Emily says, my husband is a Taurus and he's really stubborn. And then somebody just asked what my sign is. I was born May 9th. I'm also a Taurus. So finding Emily, yeah, it's like you got to find a way to really get in there and to bait him with low-hanging fruit. The low-hanging fruit, like I was saying, could be some baked goods, right? Or it could be anything. Like, go on our website, look at that carrot cake recipe. It's on our website for free. There's also a recipe for the best all-purpose keto bread. Make them French toast with that and get like Lakanto makes a maple flavored syrup, right? Which is like zero glycemic. Use these. He will enjoy it just as much as the wheat, the gluten, the sugar stuff, but he's not going to get that crash afterwards. And it just might open up his eyes to like, wow, I ate this food and I feel good. I feel good after eating this food. I don't feel like shit like after I eat the normal French toast. Go to the website, check out the French toast recipe and use it. Give it to him. Dawn says, how many websites out there say we should eat high fat, higher than your protein target? Should we just aim for the protein target and just eat fat to satiate? That depends on the context, Dawn. For me, right? So for me, I need more fat. Like, I'm really lean right now. I don't have a whole bunch of body fat to burn. You know, I'm lean. I've got lean muscle mass and I don't have a bunch of body fat to burn. I need to eat more fat. If I had body fat that I wanted to burn, I would need to eat less fat. So in a situation where you've got 100 pounds to lose, then eating protein sufficiently, 0.8 grams per pound of your lean body mass, keeping the carbs low and eating some fat, the consequential fat that comes with a diet, but allowing your body to burn body fat in the presence of high satiety and low hunger is a great way to go about it for long-term fat loss if you have a lot of fat to lose. Daniel says, my vegan friend keeps telling me to watch What the Health. Obviously, if it was that great, it wouldn't be on Netflix where it will get millions of viewers. I don't know. The language there was confusing. What the Health is this dumbass documentary made by like some autistic guy about why everybody needs to be vegan, and is literally like the dumbest, it's the most dumbed down documentary that you could ever imagine. I think Leonardo DiCaprio Joaquin Phoenix, the pinnacle of healthy behavior, right? The dude that was like, Joaquin Phoenix, complete and total mess of a human being, sponsored the making of this film to tell everybody to go vegan, and it's hilarious. I think you should watch What the Health. Everybody should watch it. It's like this weirdo autistic guy that's like, he's so dumb. He has no, and he's just going through this like stupid fake journey of like talking to these propagandists about why we all need to eat, why we all need to stop eating meat. It's funny. Eslam says, not all internet marketers, the majority though. Yeah, that's what's up, man. Not all internet marketers are obnoxious. Some of them actually provide good content. some people actually provide real content, not just posing and peacocking and freaking Instagram flexing. Alistair, what's up, dude? Alistair watches every single one of these. Crystal says, I would love to do a maple cream cheese frosting for the carrot cake. Crystal, I'm going to pay it for it. I've got to do it. So I told Jessica earlier that I want to make this recipe for everybody because it's a really cool one for the holidays, the carrot cake. It's a nice one for like daytime parties, right? You know, for bringing to like an office Christmas party or Thanksgiving party or whatever. The maple cream cheese frosting, it doesn't even have to be cream cheese. You could do a buttercream frosting with maple using Lakanto's maple flavored syrup stuff, which is just, you know, using erythritol and monk fruit extract. And that stuff's really cool. Damon's laughing at my content, my Westboro Baptist keto. Westboro Baptist keto is like, you're all subhuman glucose burners. All you subhuman glucose burning non-entities eating your sugar. I burn ketones. No, don't do that. You're not better than anyone because of your diet. And if you think you're better than people because of your diet, you're automatically like dehumanizing yourself. Right? Aaron Burrows is laughing at ketones. He likes that. Okay, so Finding Emily says, my husband refuses to look anywhere past the Heart Foundation. I guess I'll just keep the peace and hope he gets curious enough to look into it himself. You could listen to podcasts with him too, right? Like, hey, I wanted to watch this documentary. Like, you want to kick it with me and watch it? Don't get weird about it. Like, look him in the eyes and sit him down. It's like, honey, I want to watch this documentary. Right? Like, I remember when I was like a kid and I was like sixth grade, my dad would clip, what's it called? I was going to say recipes. I have recipes on my mind. My dad would clip articles from newspapers and like try and give them to me as life lessons and stuff. I was just like, dude, you're so corny. I didn't want to listen to it at all. It's like, it's all about how you... Oh, check it out. Vika, 100% adult dating. Check out my profile for the link. Got the China clickbait crew coming in with a picture of some chick with some big old titties. It was a fake account with big boobs trying to sell adult dating. You're blocked just because you're not even a real person. I let that other guy stay. And he left. The keto Facebook groups are vicious sometimes. Yeah, stay off of those. Stay off of the keto. I mean, look, keto, like Facebook groups in general are vicious. Facebook in general is a toxic cultural place. You guys see Sean Parker's recent revelation that they intentionally were creating these platforms to exploit vulnerabilities in human consciousness, to exploit vulnerabilities in our psychology and get us to waste hours and hours and get us to waste as much time as possible on YouTube and on these platforms, right? On Facebook. Not YouTube. Sean Parker wasn't YouTube. But that's the thing. It's like when you look at the marketing now, this is a trend that I'm seeing, and it's kind of alarming and it annoys me. The trend is this. In order to be relevant on social media and to get the social media platforms, in order for them to continue boosting your stuff, you got to be making revenue for them, right? So it's all about the ads. It's all about the ads for them. So in order to do that, the behaviors that people need to engage in are, it's like this self-perpetuating cycle. It's like you're constantly feeding attention. It's just constant. I need a better way to explain this. I got to flesh this idea out more. But it essentially creates an echo chamber of behaviors that are just creating a feedback loop that keeps people on the platform. So you want people, like if you want your YouTube channel to grow, you're supposed to tell everybody, comment down below, like, subscribe, share. And when people like, subscribe, share and stuff, then it gets boosted. But it's all, I don't know, a lot of these practices that get really annoying because when it comes down to it, the algorithms work and promote people that make money for the platform. How do you make money for the platform? You keep people wasting time and clicking on Facebook. You keep people insecure. You keep them feeling scared and vulnerable, and then they keep clicking the ads and all this stuff. So it's like, I mean, Facebook even listens to your conversation. Google even listens to your conversations now, and will put ads on your Facebook. Life According to Jake says hit and sub to channel to get subs. See, this is the thing. It's like, so then you get this whole army. Like, so all the millennials now, everyone thinks they're an entrepreneur, right? Everyone's like, yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. Like, I just started, like, you know, I started my sticker company on Instagram. I put my CEO. I'm a CEO now. And like, every 12 to 14-year-old out there are trying to hustle, make money on YouTube and stuff. And, like, that's, it's ruined it. Like, you guys don't even understand that in 2 years, YouTube's going to be completely different. And it's already becoming a candy store for clickbait and politically correct nonsense. I mean, you've got open censorship of many things going on YouTube now. And I'm not just trying to be negative and bitch and complain about it. I'm actually, you know, conjuring up the desire for a new platform with which to share video and stuff like this, because YouTube, like, it's great for live stuff and stuff like that, but you get put in the Google gulag if you start saying stuff that goes against the narrative that's being pushed by Google's AI. You do get blacklisted, or you get demonetized and removed. And Mark Zuckerberg wants to be president now. How freaking crazy is that? All right, Aaron says, I watched What the Health and I was like, man, they're making some leaps. Yeah, dude, how's the freaking guy who made that, like, the main character of the documentary is, I mean, he's like this Asperger's, like this weird autistic guy. Nothing wrong with, like, autistic people, you know, but it's like, man, I mean, this is like, it was really dumbed down. It was like the dumbest documentary I've ever seen. It was just, to me, it was so blatant, and it was almost insulting. It was insulting my intelligence, right? It's insulting everybody's intelligence. But to me, it's just really sad that, like, people think that people are just so dumb. Like, to actually to tune into that guy and, like, relate to the guy in What the Health. Like, I see that guy in What the Health and it's just like, what's wrong with you, dude? Did you just drink a bottle of glyphosate? Like, you're so, like, you're just like, you're at the high end of the spectrum today. Aaron says, you know you're getting big when you get the sex bots rolling in. Yeah. Finding Emily says, documentary day. For sure, yeah, documentary day. You know, like, give him a massage. Give him a foot massage while you guys are watching some documentary that you're trying to brainwash him with. Right? Positively reinforce the situation. Loving, kind energy. Straightforward. This is what it is. Hey, I want to watch this documentary. Don't be sneaky about it. Just watch it. But don't get weird about it and look him in the eyes and say, I want you to watch this documentary. Pay attention. And then don't do the thing where you're sitting there looking at him like the whole time. Like, you see that? That's why you're fat. None of that. You see, that's why you're going to die. Don't do that. Be nice. Eslam says, don't offend autism by comparing it to that guy. It's crazy, right? Zach Fleshman says, no way. Zuckerberg? Yeah, I'm calling it. Zuckerberg's going to run for president in 2020. He's already posturing. You see the press release he put out about how it's crazy, dude. Like, the social engineering happening through Facebook and YouTube is crazy right now. You guys remember in 2012, it was mapped out that all the major media corporations, all major media in the United States was owned by 6 corporations. It's been consolidated even more since then, but this was 2012. What about Google? What about Facebook? Google and Facebook have made television nearly obsolete. And through controlling the narrative through YouTube, Google, through controlling search results, what gets to the top of the searches, you're controlling what reality is in 95% of the people's mind, because 95% of people do not question reality. 95% of people take what other people say and assume that it's reality. Repetition. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Damon says, I just got off Facebook. It's the worst. I hate watching my wife get depressed seeing all her friends' perfect pictures when she is so happy when she ignores Facebook. It's toxic, man. It's a toxic culture. We're not wired for this yet. It's rewiring our consciousness. It's rewiring our brains. And remember, what did I say earlier? The parts of our brain that regulate social interaction, they also regulate the immune system. You can literally make yourself fat and sick just by looking at Facebook the wrong way all the time. Aaron says, the ads are freaking creepy. I send a text message about some obscure reference and all of a sudden it's on ad on my Facebook about it. Facebook has been saying, Mark Zuckerberg and Google have been openly saying that, you know, in the near future, Facebook will just read all your thoughts. Like, they'll just know what you're going to do. And, like, you'll be able to brain interface with Facebook. How you like that? You want to do that? You want to brain interface with Facebook? Jump into that sheet? All right. Cordelia says, it's creepy. I'll be talking out loud somewhere. I'll see an ad and a pop-up. Yeah. But we consent to it when we agree to the terms and services. It's the bait and switch. They bait you with a free platform, and then they monetize it, they tighten it up, and it becomes... I mean, it's like television now, right? I mean it's an open censorship on YouTube now of ideas that don't go along with the same old game. All right. Teapot says, you're right, Tristan. I have the cookbooks, and have made many recipes that he really likes. But I see the DQ cups and Snicker bar wrappers in the trash. I love him, and I want him to get on board with me. Yeah, he's got to move forward. What are the negative effects of using erythritol, Keith says? There's actually really none. All right, so erythritol is a non-glycemic sweetener, zero glycemic. And in reasonable amounts, it's totally non-toxic. It's not like xylitol, which is an artificial sweetener that can cause gastrointestinal disruption. Erythritol doesn't have any of those negative effects. If you eat way too much of it, it might make you feel weird, but that's just like everything. For the sake of accuracy, Facebook eavesdropping isn't real. It's been debunked. No. Facebook eavesdropping has not been debunked. Facebook Messenger is known to be using an incredible amount of data all the time. Facebook and Google are openly using our mics and our devices to collect data and to advertise. That's not been debunked, man. And don't freaking reference Snopes. Like, that's such a hotbed of disinformation. Oh, I Snopes'd it. Snopes is, I mean, it completely discredit yourself if you reference Snopes. Sam says, my question to you all, do you all notice hair thinning on keto at all? Those three alls in there. Hair thinning should not be happening on keto. Hair thinning can happen on any diet where you're calorie restricted to a certain extent, and can also happen seasonally in some people, and stress can trigger it. Okay. Alistair says, that's why I like Primal Edge Health, to be honest. While you should provide a service and need to earn a living, I love that there is a supportive community and there's good knowledge and advice. That's what it's all about, man. It's like you can put out content without being a douche. You can do it. You can put out content, be authentic, have really good products that you actually do offer your audience, and not have to just feed into the echo chamber of spend more time on social media, right? It's like we shoot our marketing in the foot all the time on this channel by telling people to get off of social media and go live life. But that's the message, right? The message is really like, hey, life is right here all around us. And the cell phones and the devices, they can be a way to connect with people. I can reach out through this and maybe, you know, ruffle a few feathers. But really, it's like getting out in your own community and actually looking people in the eyes. That's what's up. Heidi Moore is back. What's up, Heidi Moore? Aaron says, I've actually grown more hair on my baby face because of keto, it seems. All right. You guys hear? All right, so just back to Facebook, and then we'll move on. Facebook is now testing keto with Honey Bunny. You're so funny. Keto says reference Snopes first and then Wikipedia. Totally. And the first results on Google are the word of God. Okay. All right? How funny is this? What a joke, man. What a funny reality where people think that Snopes and Wikipedia are actually like valid sources for research. I had a thought that was totally relevant to somebody's question or comment here. Let me find it. Okay, yeah, all right, Facebook. Facebook's now testing a platform where you can give them naked pictures of yourself. You can give Facebook, this is real too. You can Google it. It's real. It's on Snopes it, bro. Wikipedia, it's real. First results on Google. Absolute truth. So Facebook is actually taking nude pictures. They're doing a beta testing. I think they started it in Australia. Asking their users to voluntarily give them nude pictures so that they can protect them against, what is it called? Revenge porn? That's real. I didn't just make this up. This isn't just like, I'm not making this up. Facebook is beta testing a feature where you send them naked pictures of yourself so they can protect you from potential blackmail and stuff like that. So yeah, let's like take a picture, send your dick pics to Facebook, and they'll make sure that nobody revenge porns you. So yeah, ladies, just strip down, take your picture, send it to Facebook. They'll protect you. How crazy is this? Facebook has also openly talked about playing more of a role in censoring certain information, right? They've been using this whole narrative. All right, I'm not going to get too much into this. Let's move on, guys. I could talk about this stuff all day. It's crazy. Heidi says, I love you. You're so real and make people think. You can't make someone think. You can try. I try, you know, but you know what? It does shoot me in the foot because I get demonetized. But you know what? I think other keto channels are getting demonetized too. It does seem to be, it's not, I don't think it's just my channel. I think there's plenty of other people getting demonetized as well on certain videos. It's the algorithms. Advertiser friendly. Who's the advertisers? Coke, Pepsi, General Motors, the latest movie, Hollywood. Alistair says Kim Kardashian will be right on that one. On what one? What happened? All right. Aaron says, who's on the other side of those pictures? Yeah, exactly. It's like TSA with their naked body scanners. They're just getting naked pictures of everybody. It's like, I don't know. People don't like talking about reality, right? People get put in this bubble, in this box where you're not allowed to talk about or question the things that we really should be having a dialogue for. And we are propagandized and put into that fear state, right? And then people's conversations are just about nonsense. Everybody's trying to look cute and look hard or talk like a gangster with their friends, right? Like dudes get together now, guys get together. You'll see it. You'll see the dynamic. Like two like grown men will get together, like my age, 30-year-old men will get together. And suddenly their accents change and they start like, oh yeah, yo, like that's what's up, y'all. Like everybody's got the hip hop vibe, like the fake bravado swagger. Like, I got confidence. Like this how I talk now. I'm with my boys. And then like, I mean, it's this total funny thing. Like, people are so concerned with this fake image perpetration that's given top down through media, like what it means to be a man, right? What it means to be a woman. These things are programmed into us culturally, and we are being led like lambs to the slaughter in a lot of this culturally. And I'm not trying to be crazy and alarmist here, but this is really how it is. It's like we're being led down a path of complete unconsciousness and surrender to nonsense. I mean, surrender to this nonsense fake narrative of what reality is given to you through the little black box. Remember in 2001, A Space Odyssey? What was the symbol for the instrument of cultural change? The alchemical transmutation of the world was happening through this black box that actually looked exactly like our cell phones, right? The monolith, it looked like that. The monolith was a widescreen TV. Dun, 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 dun. Boom, 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 boom. It's like, it's crazy. The phone, the TV is the monolith. Remember the monkeys? The monolith drops down, right? And the monkeys they're picking up sticks and they start whacking each other. They figure out you can use the bone. They figure out how to use weapons. Crazy film. 2001 A Space Odyssey. All Kubrick's films. And I'm not saying I agree, like metaphysically, with like all the esoteric baggage that comes with 2001: A Space Odyssey, but it is, and Arthur C. Clarke's books again, there are very good indicators of the philosophical leanings of the social engineers who are pulling the strings and who are programming people to be dumb like this and to not question our reality. So I don't know how I started talking about that, but we do. We need to question the reality we live in. We need to question our assumptions. We need to question everything. Who are you not allowed to critique? That's who rules you. To summarize Voltaire. All right. Deborah says, why do you think when all the companies know about hacking that they do not make cell phones and computers with an automatic shut off on and or mic? Oh, to where, yeah. Because the companies put in back doors for DARPA and the NSA. When you look at the seed money for companies like Facebook, it comes through companies like InQtel. Do some research into the history of InQtel, of Peter Thiel, and where the money that started Facebook and Google actually came from. Google doing fact checking. This is the real narrative that we need to be discussing, right? You turn on the news, what are they going to give you? The fake bullshit, fake reality narrative to keep us dumb and to keep us fighting among ourselves. When really we do need to be talking about the amount of power, data, and control that companies like Google and Facebook are being given, and they're exploiting vulnerabilities in human society, and they're being used for social engineering purposes that unfortunately for us are not benefiting the masses, right? But what's cool is we can still talk on this in these platforms relatively freely for now, even though we get demonetized and thrown in the Google gulag. We can still talk about these things. We can still use technology to spread these ideas and reach out to people and connect with people on a real level. Unfortunately, the realness gets drowned out by a lot of the fake stuff and the marketers that come on and say, hey, go subscribe to my channel, go like my Instagram post, I show you my titties on Instagram if you send me $5. You know, it's like all this this behavior screams for attention, and it's sometimes the truth speaks in a soft whisper, whereas the lies and distractions are constantly screaming for our attention. All right. Crystal says, would love to see your horses in an up-and-coming video. Beautiful animals. Do you ride them into town? Yeah. We just got these horses this week. We've been talking about it for a long time, Crystal. They're really gorgeous. It's such an amazing... I'm going to go ride. It's 5. I'm actually going to go ride. Crystal saving me. Like, look, I love sharing time, sharing energy, sharing love with you guys. Deborah says, why are the mic and cameras disabled? Why you think? It's all about data. Why are smart meters installed in houses? Microwave radiation, completely toxic to health, causes cancer. Why is 5G being rolled out with no human tests? And they use frequencies that have been specifically studied as microwave weapons. Aaron says, thanks guys for the conversation. I gotta go start dinner. And thank you, Tristan. Please do this again soon. Right on, man. Aaron, enjoy the books, dude. Make something from the cookbooks. Enjoy your dinner. Make some stuff for your friends. Invite your friends over. Enjoy. Enjoy it with your homies. Alistair is laughing. He says, later, homie. There's nothing wrong with like homie. I'm not talking about like, look, if there's a way that you talk, you grew up culturally in a certain area and that's how you speak. So you like, I grew up in Southern California with, you know, like when the Mexican gangbangers and stuff. So it's like my dialect is influenced by my childhood experiences, right? So, but also it's like, it's just funny to me. You know, there's the cultural programming of how people think it's okay to act and how people think certain things are okay to speak about and certain things are not. Certain things are okay to question and other things are off limits. That's not how my household works. It is all... It's all questionable, and it all should be questioned. All right. Keto with Honey Buddy says, enjoy your horse ride, Tristan. Catch you later. Keto with Honey Bunny always tries to trigger me because I always tell people, like, look, I don't want followers. I don't want worshipers. I don't want fans. He says, enjoy your horse ride, Tristan the Keto God. Catch you later. I ain't no God, I'm just a man. I'm just a man going along with the plan, guys. Finding Emily says, I need to go and do life and be a mom now. It's been rad. Yeah, Emily, go be a mom. Good job, Emily. Be a mom. Like, that's one of the most amazing things you could do right there. Be a mother to your children. Be a father to your children. We're all being programmed with this don't breed, this overpopulation, you know, the depopulation agenda. And my generation has been programmed to not procreate, especially in the U.S. I mean, there's some countries that are still, people that are still being encouraged to breed. But the U.S., People aren't having babies. People aren't raising their kids. You go be a mama. That's a heroic act and a brave act. And it's crazy how being a mother, being a father, being with your children is like almost an act of rebellion these days, right? Being conscious is an act of rebellion now, and it's nuts. Okay. So, we talked about all kinds of stuff. Alistair says, we all talk weird. We have so many accents here. Yeah, exactly. The U.S. is such a cultural mishmash. But something is funny, though. You'll notice, like, men have been programmed with this thing where they get together with each other. They all start trying to talk like they're all hood. Like, everyone gets together and everything's all y'all and like, all this. This is posturing and like, oh, this is how you're supposed to speak if you're confident. This is how you talk if you're confident. Like, it's just like this fake posturing. It's like, you really speak like that? That's your true dialect? Cool. It's all good. All right. It's time. What's today? Today's Thursday. Thursday, guys. Thanks for enjoying this live broadcast. It's been nice. It's been real. It's been real cool talking to you guys. For everybody who's been able to actually benefit from some of the information and ideas shared here, I thank you immensely for joining on the conversation. We're not looking for fans. We don't want followers. We want to empower leaders. We want to empower people who are going to go out into their communities and actually make a difference. We're going to go out there, look people in the eyes, connect with them on a real human level, who are going to raise their children consciously and allow them to question reality. People who are going to stand up for their communities. People are going to stand up for the truth. And people who are real. That's who we want. We don't want your followers. But we thank you for coming. We thank you to all our subscribers, all the people who like to join in on these live broadcasts. I was going to say conquests, live conquests. But thanks for joining, guys. You can find more at primaledgehealth.com. If you want to be notified before these things, we try to send out an email. We try to send out an email to actually inform you before we do these live broadcasts. Go to primaledgehealth.com and sign up for our newsletter, and we will send you an email telling you when we're going to do these live broadcasts so you can ask your questions live. So, you can find the Ketogenic Edge Cookbook, a training manual for low carb, ketogenic, and paleo cuisine at primaledgehealth.com, and only at primaledgehealth.com. You're not going to find it on amazon.com. You're not going to find it anywhere else. You're only going to find it on our website, primaledgehealth.com. We got loads of recipes on there for free. Loads of videos, lots of content. We put this stuff out as a podcast as well. So go to primaledgehealth.com, and you can also get the Ultimate Guide to Low Carb Baking. Cordelia, everybody else who enjoyed the broadcast, thanks, guys. Enjoy the rest of the day. Enjoy your life. Go live.